Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Job, the first chapter. We're talking about spiritual warfare. And if you have read through the book of Job, the story of Job, you know that this is a picture of spiritual warfare. This is a picture of seeing into the spirit realm and seeing how the battle unfolds and seeing how God allows the devil to come in and test us, and how God allows Satan to come in and torment us. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that God is in control. He is a sovereign God. He is a mighty God. He created you in His image. It was no mistake that He created you, and so everything that happens in your life happens because He allows it. He doesn't necessarily choose all of those things. You choose the details in your life to a large degree yourself. There are some things in your life, like your death, that are determined, and they are not going to change, but God has appointed the number of days that you're going to be here on this earth. It tells us in Psalm 139 that He has appointed the number of days that you're going to be here, and before even one of them was lived out by you, that He spoke the number of days that you're going to be here. So there are some things on this earth that in your life that are determined and that are not going to change. But as you go through the life, as you go through your daily walk here on this earth, you choose those things that you want for yourself to a large degree. And of course, circumstances outside of your control have an impact on your life, have an impact on what happens in your life. Sometimes the choices that other people make have great impact on our life, such as in times of war, or in times of famine, or in times of allowing the enemy, the physical enemy, into our life. And so those things all happen, and sometimes we don't have any control over that. But in the story of Job, God shows us a picture of how the battle for our soul is set up. God shows us a picture of how in the spirit realm all of this stuff takes place that Job didn't know about. Job didn't know what was going on. Job didn't understand that God and Satan had talked over his situation, and that God had declared over Job that Satan could tear into him and tear into his family. And so the first point from the teaching today, from this message, is this, is that Satan can only do in your life what God allows. And so we know that God is a sovereign God, and I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that no matter how discouraged you get, no matter how depressed you get, no matter how much in despair you get, understand this, that God will not tempt you. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. That every temptation that is common to man, tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, every temptation that is common to man, that you're going to have those temptations. And not only that, that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, He had those temptations, that He suffered every temptation that is common to man. And so we don't know a God, we don't serve a God that has not been tempted. We serve a God, Jesus Christ, we serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has been through the fire, He has been through the temptations, He has been through the trials, the tribulations, the struggles, and He knows what you're going through. And so He knows. And so therefore, He can minister to you, He can minister strength to you, He can minister reconciliation to you with broken relationships that come from the trials of life. He can minister forgiveness to you for those ways that people have betrayed you and the bitterness that's in your heart that you have towards people. God can minister forgiveness to you in a supernatural way that you can forgive those people. And so when Satan came up and presented himself before the Lord in the first chapter of Job, it tells us here in verse 6, when then God and Satan got into a dialogue about God's servant Job, a man of great esteem, a man who was blameless, a man who was righteous and living to serve the Lord. And so God didn't just pick out anybody. He picked out his one of his most righteous servants, one of his greatest servants, and he said to Satan that I will allow you to tear into my servant Job because I trust that he will continue to be faithful to serve me. I trust that he will continue to be faithful to pledge his allegiance to me. Well, we see the story unfold in the book of Job in verse 6, chapter 1. It says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also was among them," or came among them. "And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it.'" Well, this corresponds with what Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 12, when he starts talking about the powers and principalities, that Paul says in Ephesians 6:12 that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but our battle is against powers and principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so Paul says there's an unseen battle going on here. There's a battle in the spirit realm that you can't see with your natural eyes and you can't hear with your natural ears. But this battle is going on, and every single day, every single moment of every day, this battle is going on for your soul, for the soul of your children, for the soul of the community that you live in, for the soul of your state, your nation, and the whole earth. And so this battle is going on. And so Satan came before the Lord, and God asked him, "Where have you been?" And Satan says, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." And then the Lord said to Satan, verse 8, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So God is bragging, boasting on Job. God believes Job is righteous, and God believes that Job's heart will stand up to whatever Satan brings against him. And God knows that Job is faithful to him, and so he trusts that Job, even in the face of great adversity, he trusts that Job will stay faithful and witness to the Lord that he is his servant, that God is Job's servant, and Job is God's servant. So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? You have made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And so Satan is counting on the fact that Job is just serving the Lord because of the possessions that he has, because God has put a hedge around him and protected him. And Satan is believing that if God takes all that away and takes the blessing away from him, that Job will curse God to his face. Well, this brings up the second point that I want to share with you today, and that is, it is very easy, or somewhat easy, certainly easier, to serve the Lord when everything is going well in our life, when we have an abundance of material blessings, when we have plenty of food to eat, and we've got medical care, and we've got water to drink, and a good shelter over our head. It is quite easy then to not only serve the Lord, but in a way it's quite easy to neglect serving the Lord, because we tend to think when we have the blessings all around us and we have lots of material blessings, we tend to think that we're doing something right in this life. We tend to think that we don't need God because we've got all these blessings, that we can rely on our wealth, we can rely on our bank accounts and on our medical technology to help us, to save us. And so this is a lie and a deceit from the devil, and the devil, he will try to come against you. Eventually, your blessings may diminish. Eventually, your prosperity may diminish. Eventually, your bank account may diminish. Your car might get wrecked, or your house might burn down. I don't know what may happen in your life, but eventually, you know, the blessings that you attribute to your good works, to your good life, to the fact that you're a good person and you're doing things right, eventually those blessings might deteriorate, they might vanish, they might leave. And so God is just saying to Satan, "I trust that Job, even though he has all of these things, and it appears to you that I put a hedge around him, I trust that even if we take these things away from him, that he will still serve me, that he will still love me, and he will still witness to me. And so as this battle is set up, then God gives Satan the authority, you might say, or he gives him the permission, would be a better way to say it. He gives him the permission to attack the things that Job has, the material blessings and even his own children, to attack those and to take them away from Job. Verse 12, "And the Lord said to Satan, Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person." So God is saying to Satan, you can take out everything that he has, all his material blessings, all his livestock, his houses, even his own children. And then God says, don't lay a hand on his person. In other words, God said, I'm not going to give you the permission to take out Job himself. Okay, well, we know that in all of our lives, Satan goes around and he prowls around and he looks for ways to attack us. He looks for ways to devour us. And I have a question for each and every one of you out there today. If the devil came in and took out all of your possessions, if for some reason your children all died, would you still, if you say you love Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you still witness to Jehovah God, the God of all creation, to be your Father, to be your Creator, would you still, in the face of unlimited adversity and incredible adversity, would you still acknowledge God as your Lord, or would you fall away and start to curse God? Would you still acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior if you didn't have the material blessings that you have here in America? Well, I have witnessed in my own life, brothers and sisters, in many places in Africa and in Juarez in Mexico, Tijuana in Mexico, and places in Central America, I have witnessed in my own life people that have hardly nothing in the way of material blessings. They have hardly nothing in the way of housing or cars or even sometimes no food or limited food, and limited water, the essentials, the basics of life, and yet they still find joy in their relationship with Jesus Christ. They still find joy in serving the Lord. They still find joy in dancing to the Lord and praising the Lord. And so I know that it's possible that people that have very little in terms of material possessions, they can know the Lord Jesus and they can continue to serve Him and love Him and thank Him. And Peter tells us about the fact that the devil is going to pursue you no matter whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're famous, whether nobody knows who you are. Maybe you're just some common person out there. But understand this, that the devil is going to continue to pursue you no matter what your station in life, no matter what your financial situation in life. The devil is going to pursue you and he is going to try to take you out and get you to curse God. 1 Peter 5:8, Peter tells us, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him," Peter says, "steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brethren in the world." And so don't think just because you're experiencing sufferings, or just because you have bodily pain or some kind of health affliction, or because God has taken out your friend and your friends have been prematurely taken out in some way. Don't think that you are being singled out by God for persecution, or that you're being singled out by God for temptation. This all happens to all men. These types of things and these sufferings are common to all men. And again, Jesus Christ shared in the sufferings and the temptations. He was tempted just as all men are. He passed the temptation in every case, but he was tempted in every way just as we are. And so again, Peter says, resist the devil, stand fast in your faith, or in other words, keep confessing your faith, keep witnessing to God, keep witnessing to Jesus Christ, that you love them, that you serve them, that no matter what happens, even it may come to the point in America, brothers and sisters, this would have been unthinkable many years ago, but it may come to the point in America where we have to choose between Jesus Christ and our life. There may be people waiting to shoot us or waiting to chop our head off, just as this is happening to believers in countries around the world, especially in Muslim countries. People are giving up their head, they're giving up their life to hold on to their faith, to confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so it puts their own life in great jeopardy. And so it may come to that point here in America as well. Now, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, Peter says, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, may he perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you," or give you peace. And this is God's will. There are going to be some martyrs. There are going to be some people that lose their life. They're not going to just suffer for a while, but they may suffer for a long time. If you think about young women or young people trapped in sex slavery, they may suffer for years in unspeakable and unthinkable ways. And yet it is God's will that they eventually justice be delivered into their life. Maybe not that they would see it with their own eyes, but justice will come on the wicked. Justice will come because they are going to have to stand before God and make an account of their life. They're going to have to stand before God and declare whether Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. And so I urge you out there today, if you have a prayer burden in your heart for someone, let me know, pureprayer@hotmail.com. Just send your prayer requests, or Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. Send your prayer requests in to me. Let's get an altar filled up with prayers before the Lord so that we can pray together for the prayer burdens that we have. Well, first, third thing I want to bring up is that sometimes even our most trusted friends betray us when we are suffering for the Lord. Even sometimes our most trusted friends come against us, they speak against us. In the case of Job, he was suffering in a mighty way. His children had been taken away, all 10 of his children, all of his possessions, his cattle, his camels, his goats, his donkeys, his sheep, everything was taken away. And in the day when his wife came to him, when Job was suffering, at the height of his suffering, in the most horrific ways, his own very own wife, the mother of his 10 children, came to him, and she said, then his wife said, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity?" Because up to this point, Job had not cursed God. He had not turned against his God. And she said, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. And so that's the third point I want to bring up to you today, is that sometimes even our most trusted friends, even those that we want so much to stand with us, sometimes they betray us, sometimes they turn against us, sometimes they encourage us to give up the fight. And I encourage you, brothers and sisters, today, I know there's some of you out there listening today, you've been betrayed, you've been turned against, you've been betrayed even by your own mother, your own father, or your own wife, or your own children. And I just encourage you to keep the faith, keep speaking strong in favor of the Lord, keep the faith, keep speaking strong in the God of all creation, that he created you for a purpose, and it's a higher purpose than you yourself even know. This higher purpose is for you to keep bringing glory to God, to give him the credit and the honor and the glory for your life, even in the face of insurmountable odds, even in the face of circumstances that may seem to you very, very harsh and very, very difficult. Well, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior because Jesus went to the cross. He died for us. He shed his blood for us. This earth is not our home. This life is not our home. We're just passing through, and we have a heavenly home being prepared for us, an eternal home, and Jesus is up there preparing it for us. He tells us in John 14:1 that he's gone ahead to prepare a place for us. And so I encourage you today to come to Jesus. I encourage you today to turn your life over to him. I encourage you today to seek him with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul, to seek him and to put him above all else, to place the Lord above everything else in your life, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul, and then secondly, to love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you never confessed His name, you need to do that today. Confess Him and repent of your sins. Get down on your knees, do business with God, repent of your sins, ask God to forgive you. He will be faithful and true to forgive you. And Jesus says, I will save you, those who speak my name. And those who call upon my name, they shall be saved. If you make that decision today, let me know, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know. We'd like to send you some materials to get you started on your Christian walk. And I just thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today about the blessings of being in the fiery trial, the blessings of having that tribulation, because it draws us closer to God. Well, I thank you for listening today. Tune in again next week. God bless you. Have a great week.